First Peter chapter 2, starting at verse number 18. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. But by his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This morning, we continue to walk through the letter of 1 Peter. Already we have explored some themes contained in this short but powerful letter written by the Apostle Simon Peter. And it was written to a group of Jesus followers that were experiencing some fierce, fiery persecution. Simon Peter reminded these Jesus followers that they were connected to the Almighty God through Jesus Christ. They have been saved and rescued by God and saved by God's grace. They are exiles. That is to say that they are living in a place that is not their home. This world is not their home. Their citizenship is found somewhere else. But as they live here, they are exiles, or some of your translations may say aliens. But as exiles, they were called to live lives that reflected their relationship to Jesus Christ, their relationship to God. They were to reflect their true citizenship. So Simon has told them to be hopeful, to live in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He told them to be holy, to live in the holiness of God, to be different, sanctified, called out, the ecclesia, the called out. He told them that they were to be special, this being that they were a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, God's prized possession. And this morning, we might consider Simon's most significant instruction. This morning, Simon says, be Jesus. Trying to be like someone else is not uncommon in our society. In the late 80s, early 90s, if you were a young boy, most young boys wanted to be like Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. That was a common slogan. It was a slogan for Gatorade. They had commercials and songs, and I'm talking all over the world. You had little kids running around singing a song. I want to be like Mike. But to be like Mike had a lot more to do than just drinking Gatorade. Boys wanted to play basketball like Mike. They wanted to shoot like Mike. They wanted to jump and dunk a basketball like Mike. They wanted to stick their tongues out like Michael Jordan used to do. They wanted to wear baggy shorts like Michael Jordan used to do. They wanted to wear the short socks like Michael Jordan. They wanted to wear a pair of his signature Nike Victory. They wanted to wear his signature basketball shoes, the Air Jordans like Mike. Michael Jordan revolutionized the game of basketball and the culture of basketball, and everybody wanted to be like Mike. Now, for some, while not fully being like Mike, they came close, but there will always only be one Michael Jordan. Again, there were some who come close. There are some who jump higher than Michael Jordan and shoot better than Michael Jordan, but no one really has become Michael Jordan. Now, if it's kind of hard and difficult to become someone like Michael Jordan, how much harder or more difficult would it be to try to be exactly like Jesus Christ? There will always be one perfect Lamb of God. There will always be one Prince of Peace. There will always be the mighty Lamb of God, the everlasting Father, wonderful Counselor. Be Jesus is a lofty goal, or one that most would say is just completely unattainable. How can we be the bread of life, the light of the world, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace? It seems out of reach to even mimic Jesus. Now, I can hear the protests from the original readers now who were told to look at Jesus and follow his example and to literally be Jesus. I can hear them now saying, like, we are being slaughtered for no reason. Our lives are being turned upside down. We're outcasts. How can we be Jesus? If you were here for last week's sermon, you heard Simon Peter's attempt to rescue us from our poor views of ourselves. He told us that we were God's special people. He told us that we were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now that's good news, church. That's something to celebrate. But here's the bad news, or not so welcoming news, in that being God's people did not excuse them. It doesn't excuse us from harsh treatment or persecution. Being God's people didn't afford them the opportunity to live in a society that would shield them or protect them from the world. God's special people would live in the world, be among the world, and they would have to interact with the world. And when these early Christ followers found it difficult to understand how to live as exiles or outsiders in this world, Simon told them that there was one person they had to look to for an example: Jesus. Simon knew the reality for Jesus' followers. He knew that they were being treated unfairly. He knew that they were being treated unjustly. He knew that they were innocent, but being punished as if they were the vilest of offenders. He knew that they were suffering, and suffering is something that is hard to reconcile. It's hard to reconcile, on one hand, being the special people of God, but on the other hand, having to experience severe persecution and suffering. So Simon points the followers of Jesus to the one they were following. He invokes the memory of Jesus, the suffering servant of God. Not only did Jesus suffer and suffer immensely, but he suffered for us. Simon refers to the prophet Isaiah, who spoke of a suffering servant. I'm assuming that Peter, Simon Peter, knew that the people he was speaking to or writing to, that these folks were familiar with the prophecy of Isaiah, particularly this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53 that we all know and we've read, and it has such emotion and such rich imagery and description of this suffering servant. Isaiah chapter 53, that says, "Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him, the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish, he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That very important reading from the Hebrew Bible speaks of a suffering servant who would serve God and serve humanity by becoming a sacrifice. And the prophet, speaking for the Lord, says of this servant that he will suffer greatly. He will be bruised. He will be pierced. He will be crushed. And this suffering he will do for God's people. And Simon shares this prophetic voice with the early Jesus followers, telling them that Jesus was this suffering servant. And he left an example for his followers to follow in their own suffering. Jesus was abused, and he did not return abuse. He did not threaten revenge, and he trusted God. Sounds like a hard pill to swallow. You see, when I'm being hurt by someone, I'm thinking about how can I hurt that person back? Well, how can I hurt them to make sure that they never get a chance to hurt me again? And I want to do the hurting. I don't want to leave that to anyone else to do the hurting for me. I want to do the hurting. Simon says, when you are experiencing suffering or persecution, be Jesus. And perhaps there is something bigger at work. Perhaps we too become suffering servants with an opportunity to live out the good news of the grace of God in our lives. Perhaps our suffering becomes a testimony of the hope and holiness that we have been living. Later in this letter, Simon would write this: but even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for evil. The way we deal with suffering will give rise to opportunities to share the hope that is within us. For those who first received this letter, that was a very real and clear directive. I mean, you had folks who were placed in front of people and asked point blank, "Do you follow Jesus and Jesus only?" And if they were to say yes, then they were turned over, allowed lions to come and just rip them apart, or burned, or killed with the sword. And Simon says, when you're facing that, be ready to share the hope. There might be someone listening that will hear this hope that is within you that's connected to Jesus Christ. The truth is that Jesus' followers deals with pain and suffering in different ways. We deal with suffering in ways that reflect that we enjoy life and life with the Spirit of God because someone suffered for us. Our response to suffering is not to plot our violent revenge or to try to inflict like suffering on others. Years ago, I believe it was 2005, 2006, in Pennsylvania, a town that was heavily populated by the Amish community, and surely some of you remember this, there was a madman who walked into a schoolhouse of the Amish, and he killed the kids and the teachers. It was a horrific story. Sources say that he made the kids all and the teacher line up facing a wall and just shot them all in the back and killed them before killing himself. Church, that's enough to make someone go mad. That's enough to make some folks say we need to plot our revenge. He's going to do that to our community. Then we're going to go and do that to his community. But the Amish community did the complete opposite. The Amish community actually went to the widow of this madman. And they went to her and they took her food. And they told her, they said, "You know what? You must be grieving the loss of your husband, and you must be grieving the horrific acts that he did. As a community, we want you to know something. We want you to know that we are praying for you, that we want to care for you, and we want you to know that we forgive your husband." Later on, the mother of this madman would share with media outlets that those actions by the Amish community actually helped heal that town. It actually helped to heal her heart because they were suffering. But it was the love and compassion and care by this suffering community who decided to be Jesus. And it healed. Kind of makes Isaiah 53 make a little bit of sense. By his wounds, people were healed. Simon Peter would write this in chapter 4 of his letter. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear his name." In contemporary Christianity, in the church of the 21st century, There are debates on how we should respond to the evil and injustice that we experience. Some say, hey, Jesus meant what he said, turn the other cheek, do nothing. There are others that say, that's limited. We need to fight fire with fire. God did not create us to have a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. There's some who suggest a third way. It's the Jesus way. It's be Jesus. It's be active in love. It's be active in service. It's to be active in compassion. It's to identify with Jesus and glory in that. It's to be proud to wear the name of Jesus in our responses to world events. It's to not to be so quick to join in with the rest of the crowd in the way that they respond to the things that happens in this world. And church, this is a hard place for us to be in. And how do we do that? How do we, I know I keep bringing this up. I brought it up in the first sermon in this series. I mean, how do we interact in the political landscape in our country without losing our minds or losing our identity? How do we interact when we experience, as an African American, I often have to ask myself, how do I continue to be Jesus when I am a victim of an injustice, or my community, the community of African Americans are victims of injustice? How can I be Jesus? And I have to tell you, I don't know that I have the full answer. And I have to tell you, after reading through 1 Peter, I don't know how many of you read through 1 Peter, just sat down in one reading and read through 1 Peter. There's some challenging themes and words in 1 Peter. We'll circle back to this in a later lesson, but there's this statement in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 17 that says, honor the emperor. You mean the emperor that's killing all the people? You mean the emperor that's sicking lions on people? You mean the emperor that is using people, setting them on fire to light his garden? Honor the emperor? How does that play in 21st century America? Honor the president? Even if I vehemently disagree with the president, I'm to honor the president or honor other civil authorities or honor the people that I disagree with? Is that what Simon Peter is calling us to do? I think Simon Peter is calling us to be Jesus. And I think deep down, those of us who are Jesus followers, we know what that means. And I think that as Jesus followers, we know when we're not being Jesus. When we do things and say things that's not reflective of the suffering servant. Simon says, be Jesus. Even when it's not popular, even when it seems counterintuitive, be Jesus. Because in being Jesus, we are doing the third way. We are doing something that prayerfully will share the hope of Jesus with others. Yeah, we live in a country that might not experience persecution like other parts of the world. And so sometimes the message in Peter and other places that talk about suffering gets a little lost on us, because we live in a free society. And because we live in such a free society, we believe that, well, look, we live in a free society and we can say things against the emperor, the president, the government, and we, you know, we don't have to fear a loss of life or a loss of, so, you know, that's for a time, that's for a situation, maybe. Maybe the spirit of it is that because we are this holy nation, this chosen people, this royal priesthood, perhaps we ought to be so radically different from the rest of the world that people can tell the difference. And if people can tell the difference, perhaps it will raise people to ask, why are you so different? And when they ask, why are you so different? We can tell them because our hope is in Jesus. And I can talk to you some more about that. Would you like to know about Jesus? It's my prayer that no matter what we may be experiencing, suffering, pain, being ostracized, that we would be Jesus. There's a friend of mine at camp who I met a couple years ago. I was his counselor, and he's just a sweet young man. And ever since, you know, camp a couple years ago, I gave him my phone number, and he texts me about every week just to say hi. I say, hey, how you doing? Miss you. Can't wait to camp next year. And just a real sweet boy. I'm also friends with him on Facebook, and unfortunately, he is the victim of a lot of bullying. It's a lot of kids that talk about him. It's a lot of kids that don't involve him. And he'll text me sometimes, and he'll share with me some of his struggles of just feeling like an outsider. And man, I wish I could move to his town and just be with him and let him know that, look, if they don't want to be your friend, you need to know that I'm your friend. But often I find myself sharing with him to not allow the rest, don't let his peers or those kids who are saying despicable things, don't let them rob you of the joy that you have in Jesus Christ. During camp, I always see the joy in his face, man. He's always smiling, he's always happy. And I pray that there's nothing that would rob him of that. But I know that there's so many people in our society that's experiencing that type of life. To those people, we need to be Jesus and encourage them to continue to be Jesus. And perhaps it will afford us opportunities to share the hope of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at in your life. Maybe you feel on the outside. Maybe you feel like the minority. Maybe you feel like there's just some things in your life that's just too fiery for you. I want you to look to Jesus, the suffering servant who suffered for you, who died for you, and who did it with joy. The Hebrew writer said he did it for the joy that was set before him, for the joy that is set before us as exiles, as aliens, knowing that we are citizens of another country, of another place that will be actualized and realized when Jesus returns. I pray that joy will grab a hold of you and that you would be Jesus. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus and the example that he set for us. And Father, I'm praying that you would help us to understand how to navigate the world that we live in right now, the society that we live in right now. God, we have allowed the language of American politics and government to seep into the body of Christ. And Father, sometimes we sound more like the government politician in the chambers of Congress than we do the called out body of Jesus. Father, help us to reclaim what it means to be Jesus followers Help us to reclaim what it means to be just like Jesus. Help us to reclaim what it means to be Jesus in our actions, in our discourse, in our complaints, in our protests. God, I pray that you would bless those in our midst who are being persecuted, those who are being ostracized, those who are being bullied. God, that you would bless them with an overwhelming sense of your presence, an overwhelming understanding that they belong to you, that you are their prized possession, and may they be Jesus even in situations of bullying or being persecuted or ostracized. God, I pray that when these instances come, and we have an opportunity to share the hope that's within us, that we would be bold and brave enough to share it. I thank you for Jesus Christ, our suffering servant, who died for us all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time, we'll sing a song. We'll stand and sing a song. If there's anything that the church can do for you, prayer for you, lead you into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, please come as we stand and as we sing.